Hello, everybody, and welcome to this time of worship. Stuart and Jody here at Carey Baptist Church in Moulton. It's good to welcome those from our church family and those of you who are listening from further afield. Jody's going to come now and read the scripture, which is from John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33.
Is titled Jesus Predicts His Death. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. So they said, "We would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. And Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die.
Thank you, Jody, for your reading. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word, and we pray that as we now seek to apply it and understand it in our own situations, that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us and connect us with you and with each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Only 2 weeks to go now till Easter Sunday, and we are entering into the Passion Tide season, when we focus on Jesus's passion, his suffering and his death, and what it means for us. We need to find meaning in Jesus's death, otherwise it will all just seem absurd and pointless. How did Jesus view his own death? In a response to a request by some Greeks, some Gentiles who wanted to see him, he says in verse 23, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Jesus, as we hear him in the Gospel of John, sees the cross as his glorification, a strange glory indeed, but God's glory is made manifest in the cross and in Jesus' dying. Jesus, reflecting on his own future death in verse 24, says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Jesus sees his death as like a kernel of wheat that dies and produces many seeds. And we who are the followers of Jesus are the crop of that seed sown, first by Jesus, and then by the apostles and others who have sown that seed, some giving their lives as martyrs, dying for the faith. Tertullian, the second century church father, coined the phrase, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." martyrs have influenced me in my own life. Significantly, Archbishop Oscar Romero, who was killed in 1980 in El Salvador for speaking out against the military, has been a big influence in my life. And I think of people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was hung by the Nazis, or Martin Luther King Jr., the Baptist minister who was assassinated for standing up for the civil rights of black people in the southern states of the United States. But not just people who have actually physically shed their blood, but also those who have given their lives in service over many years, pouring out their lives daily in caring for others, in teaching others, sowing the seeds of the gospel in their lives. We think of people who have dedicated themselves to teaching Sunday school, often without seeing too much fruit, or those who have taught and led in Boys' Brigade and Girls' Brigade, or in youth groups, sowing the seeds of truth and the word in the lives of the young people. Or we think of faithful ministers and other people who have faithfully preached and taught and share the gospel over a long period of time. It is a hard task, and it isn't easy. Often we don't see much fruit, and we're tempted to give up, especially in our context in the United Kingdom. It can be hard soil at times. Will the pandemic have helped to break up that soil a bit? Will people be more open to talk about matters of faith and God after all we have been through? I hope and pray so, and pray into that situation for opportunities in the coming weeks and months and years when we can engage in conversations and dialogue and sharing with our neighbours about what matters in life and how our faith and God and Christ and his death and resurrection have made all the difference to us. It wasn't easy for Jesus as he faced his death. Being fully human, he didn't desire death, but he felt that his Father was leading him in that direction for some greater purpose. As he says in verse 27, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. The word troubled is a bit of a weak translation. It's better to say he was deeply and profoundly disturbed by the situation he was confronting, his own imminent death. But he didn't ask to be saved from it, because this is the reason he came, to glorify God in his life and in his death. And through entering into death itself, he would defeat and destroy death from within and rob it of its power as he rose again in resurrection into the new creation. By means of his death and resurrection, Jesus becomes available to everyone, everywhere, no longer limited historically or geographically, as he was as Jesus of Nazareth during his 3 years of public ministry in the Galilean countryside. In verse 32, it says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." As he is lifted up upon the cross and then lifted up in the resurrection, he will draw all people to himself. Jesus is now like a living magnet, drawing everyone to himself. We get this in First Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, where Paul writes, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed at the proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. So Paul is given this message of good news for all people, and that God desires all people to be drawn to himself through his Son. God's desire is to draw and save everyone. But we need to be willing to be drawn. God requires our cooperation, our participation, our assent. Have we said yes to Jesus' magnetic pull upon our lives? And are we still saying yes with our lives in the present? How is Jesus drawing us to himself at the moment? Where do we sense his pull? We need to open ourselves to him in prayer. And in recent days and weeks and months, I've felt more drawn into silent prayer, just being with God in prayer and opening myself to him, and to seeking him afresh in scripture, and finding him in good Christian books which challenge our hearts and our minds. Last week we finished the big read in Northampton, where we finished the book All Things New by Pete Hughes, which was a good challenging read. And we just finished our prayer course on unanswered prayer. And it was good to have those sessions of teaching and of conversation, wrestling with some difficult issues in prayer. And all this is good for our growth and development. Looking forward to Easter Sunday. It will be good to be back together on Easter Sunday, hopefully. But realistically, it may seem like an anticlimax. It may seem disappointing with 30 people, perhaps with masks, not being able to sing, not being able to socialize. It will feel an impoverished Easter in many ways. But through all the circumstances we face at the moment, through all this, Jesus is drawing us to himself like a magnet. We yearn for him, for his presence, and ultimately that will only be fully satisfied when we meet him face to face, either at his second coming or when we die. But we can have hope in the face of death, the last enemy, because Jesus has already defeated death. As the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 54, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have already been given the victory over death and sin, through Christ, who has entered death and destroyed it from within and opened up the new creation for us and for all of God's creation. Let us pray. Father God, thank you that you sent your Son to live amongst us, to die for us, to rise for us, that death would be defeated and robbed of its ultimate hold on our lives. We do not need to fear death. Death is merely the pathway to your new creation and fullness of life in your presence. Help us not to fear death, but to live bold lives of freedom, courageous lives, like the martyrs and the apostles and prophets who have gone before us, that we may proclaim your victory over death to our fearful friends and even to our own fearful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now Emmeline Carr, one of our young people, is going to lead us in some prayers of intercession.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the blessings we receive every day. We thank you for the continued success of the vaccination rollout. As the situation seems better, we remember the thousands of people who have died, and we pray that lessons will be learned so we can better cope in the future. We pray for all the leaders around the world, that they will put global interests ahead of their own national interests. We pray for our world, that we will all take action to address climate change. We pray for all those in our church family who may be suffering in any way. We pray for our deacons as they consider when it is safe to reopen the church. As we approach Holy Week, let us turn our thoughts to the cross. We give you thanks, Heavenly Father, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he willingly died for us so that we may have eternal life. Help us, Lord, to honour you in everything we think and say and do. We commit these prayers to you in the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Emmeline, for your prayers, and I'll now close with a prayer and a blessing. Holy God, may we live this day with Christ's call to discipleship ringing in our ears. And should this day bring us pain, we pray that we may meet it with honesty and hope, grounded in the knowledge that even in the darkest place, we may be touched and changed by your love. And so may we grasp with all your people how wide and long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and be filled with the very nature of God. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us and remain with us this day and always. Amen. Thank you for joining with us. Hopefully see you next week online. Go well and God bless.